4-4, second in the division, one game back of the Texans. It's time to make a statement. What's going on, everybody? We're back again. Your TNT Couch Scouts. Your host, Gerald Saltkill, here. My main man, John. What's going on, John?
What's up? What's up? 4-0, yo.
Talking about
4-4.
You're right. But talking about another win. Yeah. We beat a team we should have beat.
Dominated a team we should have beat.
What makes me the maddest about that game is that I had the Titans defense in fantasy, and they give up those two bullcrap touchdowns with about
garbage time.
With 4 minutes left in the freaking game.
Yeah, like the stats don't, the score doesn't show how bad the Titans really beat the hell out of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's really funny to look at. Like, if you look at the total yards of that game, and you say to yourself, like, oh, this kind of looks closer than it was.
We put up 33 points in the first three quarters.
Right. I mean, we absolutely dominated this football team. This game was the first time this season where I've been like, this team's good. We beat a team that we should have beat.
That's the best the Titans have looked in like 5 years.
I completely and utterly agree with you on that. I mean, this team has not looked like that, like you said, in a long time. And we went out there and they beat a team we were supposed to beat. I wish we could have had episode 10 up because I went on that nice big, episode 10 because I went on that nice big rant about beating teams we needed to beat.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. If we want to do anything with this offense or with this team, period, we got to beat those teams.
Well, I want to give you my favorite stat of the game.
Let me hear it.
43. 43 carries as a team.
Incredible.
Yes.
What have we been talking about, John? What have we been talking
about? Run the ball, play action, hit Kendall. Run the ball, play action, hit Delaney. That's the formula.
Absolutely.
I don't know what took until week 8 to do it.
Absolutely.
But that's it. That's the formula.
Another cool thing about that, you know, is those touches were really evenly split between them. DeMarco had 21 carries, had over 100 yards.
Yeah. Henry had 16.
And Henry had 16 carries. I mean, that's what you have to do with these guys. I mean, Derrick Henry was able to get his first touchdown. I mean, the team looked good in that regard. It was great. I mean, you can't say anything else, but that was the performance we've been looking for all season.
I also think the Jags are that bad.
That's true, too.
The London Jaguars are that bad.
The London Jaguars. Do you really think they'll move over there?
Eventually, yeah, I do. And what's keeping them in Jacksonville right now? And their owner is, like, from Europe, isn't he?
I'm not sure about that. Oh, yeah, the Shaka Khan guy or whatever his name
like
is.
Curly mustache?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love how I did read an article that said that he held a team meeting with the team before the game on Thursday night against the Titans, tried to inspire them. Great work there, Shaka Khan.
I don't know how their coach is still employed.
Oh, I completely agree. There's no reason Gus Bradley should be running that team. No reason whatsoever. He should be running that team.
So I guess who do you bring in to coach the Jaguars is like the follow-up question to that. But
yeah, agreed.
At some point, you got to go in another direction because they haven't done anything.
Agreed. Like we talked about it this weekend, you know. Everyone, I don't know if you knew this, but John and I did go up to Notre Dame this weekend.
Yep.
Saw the Fighting Irish pull out a W against the Hurricanes. Great game.
Catholics for convicts.
Great atmosphere. A lot of fun. But we talked about it this weekend. But who else would you go out and hire?
Yeah.
In all honesty, when they asked that, when we, you know, we were talking in the car, if the Titans, you know, figuratively, if we were going to get rid of Mike Mularkey.
Yeah.
My first thought was Todd McDaniels, or Josh McDaniels, sorry. And that's because of the fact that him and, you know, JR have a good relationship for being with the Patriots. But for the Jaguars, I mean, even if you reach out to somebody.
Yeah, who wants that job?
Right. Who wants it? Who would want to be that in that franchise?
I mean, you get paid, but yeah, there's no...
You're asking for a bad mark on your record.
Yeah.
You're literally asking for it, you know?
Yeah, ask Mark how that worked out.
Yeah, right? He got one season down there with a crap squad, and Blaine Gabbert is your starting quarterback. I mean, there's not much more, you know, you can really do with that.
Yeah. But anyway, back to the game. Jaguars sucked.
Back to the game. Jaguars and, sucked.
Like, so this win makes me so mad because if we played like this, we would have beaten the hell out of the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
We would be first in the division right now.
Absolutely.
And I've been saying this for the last 3 or 4 weeks now, but The division is terrible.
Yep.
Take Andrew Luck. Aside from Andrew Luck, who the Colts have, the division is terrible.
Yeah.
Brock Osweiler can't do anything.
Nope.
So the Colts have Andrew Luck, but they're still a dumpster fire. He just wins them two or three games because he's so good. Like, I'm really worried when they actually get a team around him. It's going to suck.
For sure. I mean, hopefully we can bolster our defense. Hot,
yeah.
Hopefully we can bolster our defense by that point.
Jaguars are obviously terrible. So, right now, I don't want to be a homer. We could win the division easily. And it's easier to win the division right now than it is to,
make the playoffs.
Yeah, get a wild card spot.
Right. So right now we are tied for seventh, and we're behind the Chiefs, who are 5-2 at this moment. And so we're tied with the Bills, I believe. And
I think the Bills own the tiebreaker for some reason.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that is the case, but the Bills own the tiebreaker. We're tied with them for seventh. So you're right. It's a lot easier to win this division. And I think we've been saying that all along than actually trying to sneak into the playoffs as a wild card
team.
Division's
bad.
It's terrible. But back to the game, though. One thing that I really, really liked about the offense this week is that we really spread the ball around a lot. Kendall Wright, 4 catches, 84 yards. Delanie Walker, 4 catches, 75 yards. Rishard Matthews, 4 catches, 38 yards. Derrick Henry, 4 catches out of the backfield. That was one of the things I wanted to see, his progression, his development. I wanted to see him catch the ball out of the backfield more. And they're using him in that regard. I mean, he had 4 receptions, so... And he was targeted 5 times, so 4 out of 5 for a guy that, I wouldn't say necessarily had stone hands in college, but wasn't the guy you would throw the ball to out of the backfield.
Yeah. Well, we challenged the receiving core in our over-under last week in our last episode.
We did.
We challenged them, and they came up with 2 touchdowns and 7 catches. So, arguably the wide receiver core's best game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, which led to, I think, the receiving core balling out of control, playing so well. Without Andre doing anything,
right,
I think led to him kind of being like, "All right, I'm done."
Yeah, let's speak to that for a second. I'm surprised that he would kind of quit mid-season, or not quit necessarily, or retire. I mean,
it's quitting. I think it's kind of lame. You can finish the season out.
There's got to be some reason behind it, though.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that he didn't get 1 target last week.
And yeah,
then, like over the last 3 games, I think he has a catch.
Right, but yes and no, though. I mean. The guy's there for a blocking wide receiver. At least when we put him on the field, that's what he's there to do. You know, I mean, we have younger, faster receivers that are going to be quicker than Andre Johnson out of their breaks. My biggest thing, and I put this out on the Twitter, was that if he was retiring, I thought that would have been something where J-Rob was like, hey, we might be going after a receiver right now.
Yeah.
There was talks of Torrey Smith today all over Twitter from Schefter.
I don't want Torrey Smith.
I don't want Torrey Smith either. So I'm glad we didn't pull a move. But, however, 2 of the bigger names that I would have really liked to see, and especially for replacing, Tajay's minutes, if you will, was definitely Alshon Jeffrey or Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
I mean, those two guys are big, strong receivers, who can go up and get the ball, but as well do the little things too. So I'd have been very happy with either of those guys, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but you're going to trade for those guys? You're going to give up? What do you give up for Brandon Marshall?
4th round pick?
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Jamie Collins get traded for a 3rd round pick.
Yeah.
Talk about not bucking Belichick. So what I've read on the internet here, the reason why he was traded is because he went to the GM and Belichick and asked for a raise mid-season.
Really?
Yeah. Belichick goes, you want to talk about a raise mid-season? See ya, homie.
Wow.
Bye. We haven't even... that's the mindset, though. That's the culture you have to have in the football team. Maybe he's played great for the first 8 games. I haven't looked up his stats. He's been a good player for them over the years.
I feel bad for the dude. You're going from... Super Bowl contention to the freaking Browns.
Yeah, to the Browns.
That sucks.
To the factory of sadness, man. I mean, that is just ridiculous. Another stat I want to say about the receiving core, Rishard Matthews, 59 snaps this week. Most out of any receiver. Tajay had 37. Kendall had 28. Andre had 13. And then Harry was inactive again.
Dude, I said it 2 or 3 weeks ago. He's the one. He's the one receiver. It might be Tajay on the depth chart, but Rishard Matthews is the one guy.
I agree. I mean, he's explosive. He's quick out of his breaks. He can make plays.
Catches everything.
He's not tough. Necessarily going to be your guy that's going to beat you down the field.
We don't have a burner on the team, but
no.
He's tough. He catches. He gets open.
He's a great route runner.
He's the one.
Yeah, he is the one. You're right. I kept talking about Tajay and how I hope Tajay would become into that, but he just hasn't done it. He really hasn't. And
I think everyone was so excited about him, and like he kind of got, there's too much hype almost. Like if he had just come in and there wasn't this much hype about it, and we'd see on the stat line like one or two catches for a fifth round pick playing a lot of snaps, he'd be like, oh, okay, he's doing pretty well. But since like everyone's like, oh, he's gonna be the guy, he's the best receiver on the roster, like it was, you know, it's hard to live up to that.
Yeah, most catches coming out of college.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I mean, if
there wasn't that hype like preseason, we'd be like, oh, Taj is having a pretty solid rookie year.
I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that.
The hype train got way too big, way too fast.
It did. And I just think he needs to grow. He needs to learn. You know, I think the guy will get better over the years, for sure. Definitely. I think he'll definitely get better. But that's something, you know, he's got to take some time. You know, he's a fifth round guy, played at UMass. Obviously, he's not playing against a bunch of competition, you know, up at UMass, obviously. Yeah. So now he's being able to play against bigger, stronger, better corners, better defenses. It's going to change a little bit, right? He's got to be able to get out of his breaks quicker. He's got to be able to get away from his defenders. So Tajay will get there, but we got to wait for that. I mean, I'm just glad that this team finally put a performance together.
From start to finish.
From start to finish. Well, not necessarily finish, if you will, but until 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter when we put our subs in the game. You know, because our second team defense was out there against...
Shout out Matt Castle, 1-for-1.
Way to go, Matt. Way to go, Matt. You threw that one pass, and it was a good one. Next thing I wanted to bring up was we always talk about we want Marcus to have efficient games, right?
It's pretty damn efficient.
18 for 22, 270, 2 TDs, no picks, and my favorite stat, no sacks. No sacks out of the
That's a testament to how good our offensive line is playing.
Agreed. Taylor Lewan is the best left tackle in football right now.
All pro, dude.
All pro tackle. And credit to the offensive line coach.
Russ Grimm.
Credit to Russ Grimm. People talked about Russ Grimm being like, oh, he's old school. He's not going to work in today's NFL, blah, blah, blah. Russ Grimm has changed the attitude of that offensive line.
Yeah.
I think Ben Jones is a lot too, just being the focal point, being that center, calling out protections, calling out defenses, you know, calling out Mike linebackers. But you don't have that big of a turnaround unless a coach gets into somebody. Russ Grimm must have taken him and Conklin aside and being like, hey, boys, y'all need to step it up. Well, Conklin hadn't played a game, but Taylor, like, y'all have to be the best players on this team. They have to be. For us to be successful, our bookends have to be the best players on the team.
Yeah.
In regards to every single down, right?
They're the two best tandem tackles in the league.
Yeah. And that's...
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Coming from what the offensive line has been the last 2 to 3 years.
Absolutely. Granted, we've had a lot of injuries on the offensive line, you know, in the past couple of years, you know.
Still, though. I mean, we're going to have 2, maybe 3 Pro Bowlers on the offensive line.
Yeah. Which is outstanding.
Yeah.
Absolutely outstanding. I'm just excited to go into this week against the Chargers with some confidence, right? We talked about that big mo. We got that mo, baby. We got that mo. We got to keep it going. If we want to win some games, roll off a couple W's, get that mo. Got to keep it. Got to keep it going.
I'm a little worried about the Chargers.
I am worried about the Chargers, but...
I'm not worried about the Chargers. I'm worried about Philip Rivers.
Me too.
He scares the hell out of me.
Agreed. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but like I said, we can get into that in a little bit. Anything else that stuck out to you from this Jaguars game?
From the Jaguars game, I mean, it was just sheer domination. I can't reiterate that enough. Like after the midway through the second quarter, it was like it didn't even look like two NFL teams were playing each other. It looked like when the JV scrimmages the varsity. Like the Jags couldn't move the ball on offense, and the Titans enforced their will every play on offense. It was like the Jags hadn't been a team for like a while or something. Like,
right,
they hadn't been to practice or something.
Right.
It was one of the most dominant games in the NFL the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, the score doesn't show that.
Oh yeah, but that was a shellacking.
People that watched that first half, Jesus Christ,
that was a shellacking, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it, 27-0 at halftime?
It's like bad. Like they had like 20-something yards, but like 300 yards or something.
Right. You mean phenomenal, phenomenal. Like they threw that stat up there at halftime, you know. And I love that we did it in prime time. People saw what the Titans are made of.
Yeah.
People saw that we can run the football, and we're going to smash mouth the heck out of you.
I think the NFL is pretty pissed at how all these Thursday night games have been terrible.
Oh, yeah, but they gotta know when they're playing these Thursday night games, though, that they put every team on there, you know, at least once. You're going to have some bad games.
They've all been bad.
But they have all been pretty bad. They all have been bad. One thing that I forgot to mention, when Marcus, the touchdown pass to Kendall, mm-hmm. that to me was the sign that Marcus can be an elite quarterback. Because my seats are in the south end zone, right? Where Kendall caught that ball was pretty much, if you go straight up the stands, I'm like literally right there to the right. You know, I'm pretty much right below where Kendall caught that ball. And I'm watching the play, right? And I'm seeing Marcus step back and, you know, rear back and chunk this ball. And as soon as he lets it go, I'm going, holy crap, no one's there. What is he doing? Why is he doing it there? Yeah. There's literally no one there. And then Kendall comes out of nowhere. He threw the receiver open.
Yeah, it was
that is a Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers elite quarterback pass. He threw a receiver open. Yeah. He knew Kendall was going to beat that safety, and he threw him open. That is beautiful.
It was awesome. That safety in that corner, the hell they were doing on that play, but hell of a throw.
Oh, yeah.
Where only Kendall could get it. He did that on Kendall's other touchdown against the Browns. He put it where only Kendall could go get it.
Right. And that's awesome. Again, that is a elite quarterback throw. That's elite right there. That's something that Tom Brady does all the time. That's something that Aaron Rodgers does all the time. Something Drew Brees does all the time.
Now, if he can do it a few more snaps a game, will they be cooking?
Oh, yeah. This offense will not be stopped. And again, when you hand the ball off 43 times, it changes what a defense does.
Wears them out, dude.
They wore out those defensive linemen. One credit I do have to give, and I feel bad for this guy, Telvin Smith is a heck of a player. He's a dang good football player.
Yeah.
He had 15 tackles last week.
Yeah.
And he's on a terrible team. I mean, that guy is a all-pro linebacker, and he's on a terrible, terrible team.
Yeah. Small markets, dude.
Small markets, that happens to you sometimes, man. Just happens to you sometimes. All right, John. Let's get into those pro football focus grades and see how you do this week.
All right.
What I want to start off with, though, Marcus Mariota. Best performance of the season, pro football focus-wise, 83.7.
Efficient.
Very, very efficient. And I love the notes they have about him. So I'm going to read them real quick. Thursday night was the best game of Marcus Mariota's young career. He played mistake-free football and was on the money from start to finish. Of his four incompletions, two were throwaways. He only attempted one pass of 20 yards or more downfield, but he completed it for a 36-yard touchdown. There really wasn't much more you could do in such a limited number of attempts. And I completely agree with everything. Everything they said.
Okay, so then I'm going to say that he's on the list.
He is on the list. However, they have another set of five, so I'm just going to omit that one.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to give you that as a check mark, as a way to go, John. Okay. You know, snaps and claps. But top offensive grades. Let's hear it.
All right, I'm just going to lead off with the heavy hitters, the two left tackles.
Well, you had one of them, which was Jack Conklin, second overall, 81.2.
Okay.
Taylor Lewan did not make the list.
Okay. Then running back, comeback player of the year.
DeMarco actually was not on the list.
Wow.
Yeah, he was not on the list this week.
Okay.
We had some good performances out of a lot of people.
Well,
so
it's going to be Kendall and Rashard.
Kendall was number one, 81.7, his best performance of the season.
Yeah.
And Rashard was not on the list either.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. But
Delaney
was on the list. He was third with 81.1. Fourth was Anthony Fasano. Again, snaps on the field. He was productive, blocked well, 80.3. And then Arsena, Ben Jones, 79.5. So we'll give you three out of that five. That's some decent work.
Hall of Fame numbers.
I'll give you Delaney, even though you threw that in after your five. So I'll give you that one. I'll give it to you. Just because I'm feeling nice after a win like that.
All right.
Moving on to the defense.
All right, so last week in the last episode, I said I'm just going to say Klug first from now on, so Carl Klug.
Not on the list this week. Good try, though. It's a good guess.
He's been on every other week.
He has, but that was a good guess.
Okay, J-Mac.
J-Mac was on the list either, but he had a solid game.
Wow, okay. Well, then Avery Williamson.
He was fifth, actually, 77.8.
Okay, Kevin Byard.
Another good call, but I think you're just looking at stats here.
I am.
Yeah. You're thinking of the whole game. He's not on the list. But
efficiency, Drell Casey.
Number one, 83.3. So you got the number one, number five guy. Number two is actually Sean Spence, 82.2. He had a nice bounce back game this week. A newcomer, two newcomers to the list. Two of them, not one, but two.
Antoine Blake.
Number four, 78. I was very surprised. He played well and stepped up. He stepped up a lot. I was very, very pleased with his performance.
He played really well.
And then third overall was actually Angel the Blackson.
He's an athletic dude.
Love the performance out of the guy. You know, I'm pretty sure he plays Daquan's DN spot, with quotation marks on it. But he played good in Daquan's absence, you know. He played really well. I was very, very pleased with him.
He's a big dude, big athletic dude. Knows for the football. Agile, athletic.
And he's been around for a while, too. He's been around for a while. So, in saying that, you didn't do as hot this week on the PFF grades.
Did not. That wasn't a very good week. Defense.
It happens. It happens to us. But week 9, you were on point. Because you did some research, I feel like.
I need to actually do that more often.
Yeah, you do, John. You need to pay attention.
Just come off the cuff.
But now getting into, so our fantasy players that we talked about the week before, but of course, no one has heard it yet. So, John selected Marcus from the Titans and Marquise Lee from the Jaguars.
1 for 2.
And I selected Delanie Walker and Allen Robinson. Now, this is where we kind of get into a little contentious point of who gets the W this week. Because Marcus was phenomenal. But Marquise Lee didn't do diddly. Anything. However,
he also fumbled.
However, Allen Robinson had a couple of catches, but didn't do much until the end of the game, right? Same with Allen Hurns, but Allen Robinson did have 6 catches for 70 yards. Delanie had 4 for 75. So that's what I'm going to ask you. Do we pick me for the solid performances or give it to you because Marcus was just absolutely phenomenal?
You're asking me to decide, pick between me or you? I'm a little biased here.
Be honest with it, John. Come on, let's be honest with it.
I mean, how many of those Hurns catches were in garbage time?
Yes, but I had Robinson. So Robinson had a couple in the first 2 quarters.
That's what I meant was Robinson.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why don't we double or nothing?
Double or nothing next week?
So that, yeah.
I'm
so
down
you
with
get
it.
2 wins if you get to next week or not.
I'm down with it.
Okay.
Let's roll with those. Let's roll with those. So going into next week, I'm 5-2. John is obviously 2-5. And John, we are now on to week 9. At San Diego.
Chargers.
The Superchargers, as Chris Berman likes to call them. The home of Ron Burgundy. San Diego.
Yeah, dude. See our old boy Wiz on the sideline.
We will. This game worries me. This game worries me a lot because they have good offensive pieces that we haven't been good against. The tight end is being one of them, right? Kind of held Julius Thomas in check last week. What?
He had a touchdown.
He did have a touchdown, but at the same time, like, overall numbers, I don't think that...
3 catches, 28 yards.
Yeah, still got a touchdown. That's nothing crazy, though, right? Nothing like we've had in the previous weeks with tight ends. So, but I also did see, I don't know if you saw this as well, Wesley was on the field for those coverages. Wesley was in coverage a lot, which he's our coverage linebacker. He needs to be on the field for those times. He needs to be guarding the tight ends instead of Sean Spence and Avery Williamson, as we've seen. So... my biggest thing here is not letting Hunter Henry beat us, as well as Phillip Rivers. But one thing people might not think about, though, is Travis Benjamin burnt us last year against the Browns.
Johnny Football.
And now...
he had 2 touchdowns against us.
And now... well, 3 if you include the... the punt return.
I was including the punt return.
You were? Okay. So now he's playing for the Chargers, and the guy's quick. We do have J-Mac back, so I think that'll help out some. And they don't really have a lot of big-name receivers. Dontrell Inman, you know, not anybody that I'm really scared about. But Travis Benjamin worries the absolute crap out of me.
Well, anytime we go against, like, a prolific quarterback, like Derek Carr, like Andrew Luck, like a Phillip Rivers, like, they have a field day.
Right.
And I think that Phillip Rivers is going to have a field day.
Yeah.
Sitting back there, picking us apart.
If we want to win this game... the pass rush has to get more than 2 sacks. We got to put up the numbers like we did against the Colts, or not against Colts, but like against, I can't think. We had the 6 sacks back to back.
Browns
being one of them. It might have been the Colts we had 6 sacks. I'm not sure.
No, the Colts. We had a couple. Max protected us.
Yes, because Dolphins we had Dolphins, 6 sacks. Yeah. That's who it was. Dolphins and Browns we had 6 sacks. If we want to win this game, that offensive line has got to get to Phillip Rivers because he's essentially a statue, if you will. He can move a little bit.
That's the good thing about playing a Wizen Hunt offense is Wizen Hunt's not going to sit back there and max protect as we know from the last 2 or 3 years of J.J. Watt just destroying whoever quarterback we rolled out there.
Absolutely.
So there will be chances to get sacks because Wizen Hunt is not going to budge on his scheme for me, whatever.
Yeah, he's not. No, so, he's definitely not. He thinks he's the smartest man in football.
Yeah, so that's like I think that we'll have opportunities to get sacks. And if we don't get 3-4 sacks, like, we're going to be in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Because Phillip Rivers is a competitor, too, dude. I'm not a Chargers fan or anything. But I love Phillip Rivers. Like, when there were those trade rumors going around, we were going to get Phillip Rivers, I was, like, all on board with that.
I agree. I was on him, too. Because, I mean, he's a good quarterback.
And he's like, he's got a little dog in him. Not many quarterbacks have some dog in him. But you see him like getting in players' faces, letting them know, telling them what to do, telling them when they mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
He has some dog in him, dude. I love it. He's a competitor. And that being on the other side of the ball, like that worries me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm right there with you, man. This game really worries me. So when they played Denver last week, a great defense, right? Melvin Gordon had 23 carries for 111 yards.
He's having a good year.
He's having a lot better year than last year, for sure. And I think it's because of how Wisenhunt's offense is. They're using him in a different light.
And Woodhead's out for the season, so he's getting way more touches.
Right, exactly. I mean, you don't see Dexter McCluster in that backfield a lot because of the fact that Melvin Gordon is a versatile back.
Yeah.
He caught the ball in the backfield at Wisconsin. You know, he's a good player. He is. And Phillip Rivers likes to hit him out of the backfield, which is something that I'm not necessarily like super worried about. I think that we can control him. But again, Travis Benjamin and Hunter Henry are the two guys that I think we have got to take control of. Wesley Woodyard needs to be on the field every time we think that there's going to be a passing down, and he has to be covering Hunter Henry. He's the one guy I'm worried about. Yes, Antonio Gates is still there, but Hunter Henry is like the game changer in that offense, if you will. He's the younger guy. He's basically
another receiver.
He's quicker. You know, he can't block as well. However, he's a good player, and I'm worried about him. As well as Travis Benjamin. If we can keep those two in check, I think we have a very good chance of winning this game. I do.
I think we're going to be in a shootout again.
I hope not. I mean, our defense can come out and do what we did against the Raiders. If we do have that performance, hold them to 17 points, I think we win. I think this defense that we're playing against has some room for error.
Yeah.
They do have two really good bookends in that defense, in Joey Bosa, as well as a kid out of South Carolina, Melvin Ingram.
Yeah.
They're really good. Both of those guys are really good bookends. I mean, their Pro Football Focus rating right now, Ingram's for the season is 85.9, Bosa's is 89. Their interior line is not that great. So keep the formula of last week and what we've been saying. Run the football.
Keep Rivers off the field.
Run it 43 times again. We have to run the ball that many times again.
The target number should be like 38 every week.
Absolutely.
As a team, not just...
I agree.
Just one guy.
And I love how they did the change of pace with it, you know, because I think DeMarco is quicker than Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry has some deceptive speed to him, right?
He beat BA around the corner two or three times.
Oh, yeah. Jalen Ramsey looked like garbage.
Yeah.
Looked like garbage. I'm so glad we burned him. I mean, I wanted him to do well, but just not against us.
Yeah.
So he has deceptive speed, but I think DeMarco is obviously your quicker back out of the two. But get Derrick Henry in there. Let him beat up some of those interior guys, you know? Make it to where the fourth quarter comes in and Denzel Perryman does not want to tackle him.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. Show Joey Bosa what Derrick Henry's got, you know? I mean, they played against each other before. Show him what he's got, baby. And that's really what I want to see. But the biggest thing with Rivers last week was he wasn't efficient at all. 20 for 47.
He threw three picks last week.
If we could do that.
Well, that's because they got after him. I think the Broncos had four sacks. Yes, four sacks last week. So, put a little pressure on him.
Yep.
Get after him.
Model for success. And they were down in the game, so they had to throw the football a little more.
Also, the Broncos are very well. Like, they're pretty good defense.
Oh, one of the best defenses in all football. Absolutely. If not the best defense in all football. So, I'm right there with you. Right there with you on that. Again, if we can keep them off the field. And I'm talking possessions, drives, sustained eight minutes.
Yeah.
If we can do that, we got a good chance. We really do. That is the key. The key to this game is running the football and having the possession high. I mean, that should be the key to every game, but especially this one with such a good quarterback.
Take the same blueprint we just used and apply it to this team.
If we do that, we got a dang good chance.
Yeah.
We really do. West Coast game, you know, we're going to be playing later in the afternoon. The travel's going to be a little different. So... they're going to be at home in their comfort zone.
As a pro football player, though, you should be used to all that stuff. You should be able to fly cross country and line up and play.
Should be, but still, I mean, come on, we're regular people here. You know, a 4-hour, 5-hour flight's gonna take a little leg out of you.
Yeah, but if you do it, you know, 2 or 3 times every year, you should be. I mean, I'm not like the London game is probably very weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think flying, San Diego should not be
as
anything
weird.
They can't handle.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it's different for those West Coast teams coming to the East Coast and playing earlier in the day than they're used to and their bodies are used to. So I will say that. But like I said, we need to come ready to play this week. I mean, this game right here is a huge game if the Titans want to make the playoffs this year.
We're one game back in the division. So
one game back. Houston does hold a tiebreaker, though.
Yeah, so I mean, it's 1.5 games back.
Yeah. So what's crazy about though is this that last game against Houston, it is really looking like it's going to be division winner game right there.
Yeah. Make a break. Playoff games. Playoffs start early.
Yeah. I mean, that is a, I'm going to say this right now. I mean, knock on wood that we, you know, beat some of these teams we're supposed to beat, right? When we play the Jags again, we play the Colts again. That will be a playoff game. I mean, that's, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah.
But this week, if we can get a win against a good San Diego team, at least a good offense, we'll say that, and a decent defense.
They're not bad, yeah. AFC West from top to bottom is really good. I think that's where the charter schedule or the record is 3-5, but I think they're better than their 3-5.
Oh, yeah,
record.
I agree.
They've played
that.
Some really good football teams.
I completely agree with that. I mean, they've already played the
Raiders,
Broncos twice.
Broncos, yeah.
So, I mean, and they're one of the best teams at football, and they've already played them twice. You know, if you have a little bit better of a quarterback than Trevor Siemian, I think the Broncos are undefeated.
Probably.
You know, if you have another Peyton Manning, you know, kind of quarterback, they're probably undefeated. Yeah. But same time, back to this week, bring it. It's time.
Let's get after it.
All right, John. Now we go into fantasy studs.
Double or nothing.
For this game.
Winners.
Winners gets two dubs right here.
Two wins, yeah.
Gets two dubs right here. So that was a close one last week. So from the San Diego Superchargers. Who you got?
Man, it's a pretty obvious one.
You can go Travis Benjamin?
No, dude. I feel like I have to take Phillip Rivers.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
Taking like 3 touchdowns by Phillip Rivers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't knock you there. I think that, unfortunately, I think we're on the same page in terms of picking this as a loss for the Titans. I don't want it to be, obviously.
Yeah.
We both don't. But I don't have high hopes for this game. Yeah. I just don't. Especially because he knows our defense better than we necessarily know his offense with Phillip Rivers. We know his offense,
that's
right?
That's a good point.
But Phillip Rivers is a dang good quarterback, right? He's a dang good quarterback. But he knows Dick LeBeau's schemes. He knows what LeBeau's going to run.
Yeah.
So he knows where the pressure's going to be and where it's going to come from. And I think he's going to get it out. So in saying that, my guy this week is going to have to be Travis Benjamin. I think Travis Benjamin's going to have a good day against us. And I don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
But he's a burner, man. He is an absolute burner.
It's been trouble for the Titans.
Oh, yeah. It's been trouble for the Titans. Who you got for the tits this week?
Big number 82, Delaney Walker.
Delaney Walker.
I think he matches up better than any of their linebackers. I think those edge rushers are going to put a little pressure, not a ton of pressure, but Mariota's going to need to find his tight end to, get back into the flow of the game a little bit. And Delaney is the best receiver on the team as well as the tight end safety blanket.
I got you on that.
Delaney Walker.
I got you on that.
For
two wins. The person I'm going to go with this week for the Titans is actually going to be someone that has played great over the past couple of weeks and someone who I think can make a big difference. In this game, I'm going to go with Rashard.
Safe bet.
I'm going to go with Rashard. He's had a couple touchdowns the past couple weeks.
Wide receiver one.
I think he's obviously going to get a lot more snaps. I mean, he's got some more last week for sure, but I think he's going to be consistently getting those snaps. Okay, and they might put some more coverage on Rashard, but I think this week is the time for this guy to have a good week.
He'll definitely be on the field more with Andre gone.
Absolutely. Yeah, he will be. He'll be on those blocking routes as well.
So, like, he is low-key turned into one of the better pickups of the offseason.
Agreed.
For the Titans.
Absolutely.
Like,
agreed.
No one was super excited about Rashard getting picked up. I mean, he's a solid receiver, but no one's like, all right, sweet, we got Rashard Matthews. And turns out he's best receiver on the team right now.
Yeah. I mean, it was a solid buy.
Most reliable.
Yeah, most reliable for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely a solid buy. Solid buy on him. I mean, when we made that pick, I was like, you know what? Solid contract. Not anything's going to blow you out of the water. Nothing we're breaking the bank on. Solid. Very solid
low
contract.
Low-key, great off-season move.
Yeah. Low-key, great off-season move, for sure. I completely agree with you on that. Still think we need a dominant one.
I agree.
A big,
I'm
tall
receiver.
I'm not saying
he's like the answer to our receiving problems, but he has already played better than I think most of us thought he was going to play.
Right, right. I saw a stat the other day that I don't think it was PK put it out there, but a Pro Football Focus guy put it on Twitter. He said, as of right now, Rishard Matthews is on pace for 75 catches, about over 800 yards.
That's awesome.
I think 8 or 9 touchdowns.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's phenomenal for the guy. Now we're going to throw it over to our boy, Jake Boswell, with the F-Quad. I think it's a funny name to...
F-Quad?
The F-Quad. I think it's pretty funny to coin it that. But with our fantasy football bear weather focus. Take it away, Jake.
Hey, everybody. Jake Boswell here with your fantasy football fair weather focus. Week 9 in the NFL. More than halfway done with this football season and inching ever and ever closer to your fantasy playoff, which means every move is more important than the last. We're going to start this week by talking about a couple people you may have hung on to too long, and it's finally time to let them go out of your starting lineup. We'll begin with Russell Wilson, quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, has a nagging ankle injury that certainly seems to be hurting his mobility and also his numbers. His rushing yards are way down, has not thrown a passing touchdown in the last 2 weeks. He is someone that everyone believes is an elite quarterback, but the fantasy numbers just don't show it this year. If you have another option, use anyone but Wilson at quarterback, at least for the next few weeks until he can get healthy and prove he is an elite player again like he once was. And sticking with the Seahawks, Doug Baldwin, 14 touchdown receptions last year. This year, only a couple, and also only one game of over 100 yards receiving. He's someone many thought would mold into an elite receiver for the Seahawks this season. It just hasn't happened, and there's too many good receivers out there on the market, both in the waiver wire and also certainly on your bench, to play Doug Baldwin, who is averaging around 40 or 50 yards per game. Now, moving on to some players that maybe you've passed aside and deserve a second chance. We'll begin with Dante Moncrief, hurt during week 1 of the season, made his midseason debut once again this week for the Colts, able to help with a touchdown and 40 or 50 yards receiving. Him and Andrew Luck have had a special connection, really showing off at the end of last season. This season, look for them to keep that going now that he's healthy and playing well. Jack Doyle really stepped in, and you saw his numbers raise quite a bit in Moncrief's absence for the Colts. Look for Moncrief to take a lot of those numbers back and become an elite receiver fantasy-wise, many people thought he could be. And then also, Jordan Howard, running back for the Bears. We've talked about him before this season. He's someone that seemed to be an elite running back last week. He did not play very well and didn't get a lot of carries, to be honest. Kadeem Carey of the Bears was their workhorse, but then this week on Monday Night Football, he had a phenomenal performance of over 200 yards for scrimmage for the Bears, solidifying his spot as the workhorse for a team that's honestly putting up some decent fantasy numbers from the running back and receiver position. So there you have it. A couple people that you may want to decide to take a second look at, and a few people you need to toss by the wayside. If your team's not doing very good this season, that's what this is all about. You don't have to listen to this. You can read a book. But if you're still on the hunt for the playoffs, take some of this advice and make sure the money you put down in that fantasy league is going to be worth it.
All right, Jake, much appreciated as always. And I agree, it should be called F-Quad from now on.
Agreed, F-Quad.
So the F-Quad segment. Thanks again, Jake. All right, and now it's time
Ooh-wee!
For your wifey's favorite segment, retro music. Hit it.
Hit all it, right. Mike G.
So last week, Gerald went 3 of 7, but one of the seven was a push. He pushed the 2 touchdowns on. Marcus went over, picked over. You went over on 29s, 105 rushing yards. You went over that.
Sweet.
2.5 sacks. We had 2.
Nah, yeah. I went over that, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah.
8 tackles by Avery. You went over that. He had 7.
Shucks, man. That was close.
1.5 special team snafus. You got that right. We didn't have any.
Perfect.
1 or more TDs by the whole wide receiving core. We had 2. You hit the over on that one.
Perfect.
And then you had one of the receivers goes over 100 yards. You picked the over. And Allen Robinson, the scrub man, has got 98 in garbage time.
So
Mr.
Hearns had 98, yeah.
Okay. So, this week.
What do we got, John? Hit me with it.
We're going to start with our favorite statistic. What should be our favorite statistic? As a
okay.
Team. 40 carries. As a team.
As a team, 40 carries. I mean, I'd love to say we're going to get there again. But one thing I will say is I think we'll be behind. So we're going to have to throw the football. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go under those 40 carries.
Under 40 carries. Under or over 290 yards by number 8.
Passing yards?
Yep.
290. I'm going to say under that as well, just because Marcus rarely puts up 300.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say under that as well.
One or 0.5 sacks by Bosa.
0.5 sacks by Bosa. Ooh, so he is going up against Mr. Conklin this week. So, in saying that, I think that he'll have one, and that's it. So I'm going to say over that, over the 0.5, just because I do think he will have one, and that's it.
Okay. Over or under, they'll show Wisenhunt on the sideline 4.5 times.
Oh, over. Over, for sure.
So six.
You can't be changing it now, John. You can't be changing it mid-thing.
Over? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go over 4.5, because they're going to be talking about Wisenhunt all game long.
Over or under 3 TDs for Philip Rivers?
3 TDs for Mr. Rivers. It's a toughie. I wish I could say push, because I don't think he's going to have more than 3 TDs. I'm going to go with the hard bet here. I'm going to say push. I'm going to say at 3 TDs. Actually, no, screw that. Under. Under. Okay. Under.
All right, 2 catches by Tajay Sharp.
Over 2 for Tajay this week, because I think Rashard and Kendall are going to get a lot more coverage than Tajay will, even though he is our number one receiver. I'm going to say over 2 catches for Rashard. Mr. Tajay Sharp.
75 receiving yards by Mr. Daniel Walker.
Ooh, 75 is a good number. I do think he could have a good week here. But 75 yards, I'm going to say under.
And then the last one is, it's an over-under segment, but it's basically a pick'em.
Okay.
Who will be active, Trey McBride or Harry Douglas?
Ooh, that's a really good question. It's a really, really, really good question. Since we do have Mark Mirianni on the roster, I don't think Trey will be active. I think they're going to put in the guy that got a little more experience.
Yeah.
Probably is going to be more active, you know, more oftentimes than not. Trey just got promoted. So if anything, I'd say Harry. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if they're both active, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be terribly surprised, just in case something does happen to Mark. Or maybe they throw Trey back there to see what he can do in the return game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to throw him out there, see what he can do. Maybe a change of pace from Mark. You know, maybe he can break something.
He played a lot of gunner in preseason. I figured they'd try and get on the field as a gunner.
Right.
Made a lot of tackles.
And to be honest with you, they might make them both active, but Trey's just not a blocker. He's never going to be.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, you know, you put Harry in that position over Trey, in my opinion. So offensively, you play Harry, but special teams, he's got some value. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're both active, but if we had to pick one of the two, I'll say Harry.
Harry. All right. That is all for the Rocky's favorite segment.
We'll see what we can do. See what I can do this week. I got to get over 500. I've been sticking at 500 this week.
Yeah.
Sticking at 500. All right, John.
Yep.
One thing I want to bring up that is the, you know, focus of the rest of the season, obviously. We're now halfway. We went 4-4. We're kind of on line with that 8-8 record that I said that we talked about in episode 1.
Yeah.
But this is where we have a chance. Listen to the back half of this schedule. And there are a lot of winnable games.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing about this. I mean, this team, obviously, we've talked about it. We're very lucky finishing last and being able to play these last place teams, right? But we were playing the AFC West, which is a good, great, you know, maybe, division this year.
I would say maybe the best in the league.
Right. I would agree. Probably the best division in football this year, which stinks for us. But I also think part of that is because they're playing the AFC South. They're whooping them on the Jaguars.
That is true.
Whooping them on the Colts.
Solid point.
The Texans are losing as well. And that's why they look so good. I mean, if you look back the past 3 years, every division that has played the South from the AFC has done really well. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
That's how it's been working. But listen to these games. And there's some games, obviously, that I don't think that we'll have a chance in or that are going to be more difficult than anything else. But next week, or this week, San Diego. The week after that, the Green Bay Packers. Who have their defense has been very, very suspect.
They got a lot of people hurt too.
Yeah, very suspect. So the Titans could jump on this chance, right? The Titans could jump on this chance. They look good against the running, but it's Devontae Freeman. He's not as good as DeMarco, in my opinion. Okay. I don't think Tevin Coleman's as good as Derrick Henry, in my opinion, either. That's just me. After that, at Indy,
win.
We can win that game. We should win that game. At Chicago,
win.
Another win. Mr. Howard went off last night. We saw that on that Monday night game. But again, I think we can
need 20 more yards and I would have won.
Really?
Yeah.
made a monster comeback.
I lost by 1.5 points, and the Vikings had negative 2 points. So if I didn't play a defense, I would have won the game.
Wow. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts. At Chicago, then we got our bye, and then we're home against the Broncos, which I do think that's – I don't think it's a game we can win. At KC, another game I don't think we can win.
That's a loss.
However, with them having that sputtering backfield with Spencer Ware and Jamaal Charles out, heard today Jamaal Charles is going to have a second surgery on his knee. Not maybe something major, but who knows if that guy's going to play the rest of the year. So I think we have a chance, but I don't think we're going to win that game. And then at Jags,
win.
Home against Houston.
For the division.
For the division. I think in those games you look at, I think there's 6 winnable games there. Not to say that we're going to win all of those games, but I think there is 6 winnable football games.
I think 8 wins is realistic now. I didn't think at the beginning of the year. I think that's realistic.
Yeah, I think it's very realistic. And so it's something you look at and you're like, hey, you know, we really need to jump on this opportunity. We really got to jump on this. I think Green Bay is kind of a toss-up at this moment. I don't think we'll win that game, but I do think it's a toss-up because of the fact they have so many people hurt, right?
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. He is really good, and he's an incredible football player. There's nothing you can say about it. He's an incredible football player. But that defense is very suspect right now. Defense is very, very suspect, okay? They held Julio in check, but Julio was also hurt, you know, this past weekend. Hurt that foot. That hurt me in fantasy, too. So out of that schedule, man, I am really confident that we could potentially get 6 wins out of that. I don't think we beat the Broncos. I don't think we beat the Chiefs. But those are the 6 games.
Winnable games, yeah.
Are winnable games.
I agree.
So if we go in at if 10-6, who would have thunk that?
I don't think we're going to win all 6.
No, me neither. Winning.
Yeah.
But it's a potential.
Yeah.
I would never have said a potential of 10-6 earlier in the year.
No.
Never would have said that. I mean, I was thinking 8-8, but that was on the high end, right?
Yeah.
That was on the high end. I thought we would go, there's a possibility that we still go 7-9 and we kind of split your and I's thought process on this. But if this team goes 10-6,
it's crazy.
We're all those malarkey haters. Where are they at now? We're those malarkey haters. But one thing we want to bring back, since we did have some first quarter grades.
End of the semester grades now.
End of the semester. John, I want you to kick it off first. I want to hear what you got for... Let's start with the O, and let's start with the running game. What you got for the running game?
Is an A, dude. It's been dominant the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely, my friend.
I had an A- going into end of the quarter.
Right.
An A-. They moved their average up after DeMarco's been putting on a clinic. He's gone over 100 yards 3 of the last 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And... especially, like we talked about last time, like that last test kind of boosted you up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
That last test right against the Jags, he looked like...
boosted you up a little bit.
He looked like the best player on the field.
Brings that average up. He's actually up for the FedEx Ground Player of the Week.
He should be.
Which I'm a big fan of. Go vote, y'all. Go vote on the... Titans Online has a link to it, I believe.
What'd you put for rushing?
Rushing, right there with you. Gave it an A. Got to give it an A. It's the best facet of our offense by far.
Yeah.
It's only gotten better. We've given the ball more to our 2 big studs, and it's gotten better. A. No ifs, ands, or buts. A. That's a solid
part,
score.
Best part of the team right there.
Absolutely. We're second overall in rushing, yeah. I think behind I think it's Cowboys. The Cowboys.
Yeah,
so we're second in rushing overall. A. You mean second best in the class. That's an A. Not an A+, but an A. Passing, what you got?
I had him at a C- at the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But after Mariota's those 2 games, and he had the one not great game against the Colts, but it wasn't a horrible game.
One stellar.
And then back, so I'm giving it a B-.
Dude, it's like we are like drinking the same Kool-Aid or something, because I gave it a B-, too.
B-. That's a solid grade.
It is, because again, it's progressed more than...
There's still room to improve, though.
Absolutely. But it's turned around more. It's turned around. It's better than the first 4 games of the season.
Do what Kendall's been doing is definitely...
He changes the offense.
The first quarter at all.
He takes pressure off of Rishard Matthews. He takes pressure off of Delanie Walker because he is so versatile and where you can put him out. Oh, yeah. People have to account for him. If you don't, then he burns you for a 36-yard touchdown where he just completely runs behind your safety.
Yeah.
Again, also the fact that Jaguars are bad. However, he did play well. So B- for that.
So your overall offensive grade?
Overall average. Offensive grade, B+.
Ooh.
What you got on that one, John?
B-.
Okay.
B-. Because I still think... And the run game's good. The pass game could still be much improved.
Agreed.
And I don't think we've seen the best of Mariota. I think there's way more potential than we have in this year.
Agreed.
So I'm setting the bar a little bit lower maybe than it should be, but B minus.
I'm going to give it a B plus, and I'm one of those teachers that, you know, kind of gives it a better grade, you know, if there's a lot of effort there. And so I think there's been a lot of effort in the passing game, which I do enjoy. And like we've talked about, the running game has opened up the passing game, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we've been needing to do all season. It's what we talked about from day one of this offseason. Run the ball, open the pass, that play action's got to be there. So give it a B plus. John, well, I forgot to roll back. I did give the running game an A minus, just like you did. First quarter, gave the passing a D, so huge improvement. Huge improvement from my overall rankings.
Second quarter bounce back.
Yeah, right, second quarter bounce back. So, go to the defensive side of the football. What'd you think?
Well, I gave them a B plus in the first four games, and I think I'm going to stick with a B plus.
Okay.
So, they haven't done anything terrible. I haven't done anything better.
Right.
B plus. I gave him a plus last time. There's no reason to take that away, so B plus.
Okay. I'm going to disagree with you. And I'm not going to disagree with you by that much, but here's the thing. I gave them an A minus after the first quarter.
Yeah.
And because of the teams we played, you know, Minnesota, the Raiders, and held those teams in check, right?
Yeah.
In terms of really not letting them score points or really hold them to field goals. However, the teams we've played the past 4 weeks have not been as good, and we're giving up points. I give them a B. Just a B.
Last week's points were garbage points. I don't feel like you can count that.
And you can say that, right? You can say that. But again, if we want to be a successful organization and put teams into the ground, gotta hold them. Again, the Browns put up 26 points. Cody Kessler put up 26 points.
I won't defend the Browns, and I won't defend Andrew Luck going bananas on us either.
Right. So I'm gonna bump them back, give them a B. They need a better performance.
Okay.
Special teams.
I had a D minus. And they are now bumped up to a D.
Yeah, I mean,
they haven't done.
Nothing special, nothing crazy.
They fired the special teams coordinator, and not a lot has changed.
Yep, agreed. Completely and utterly agreed with you. I have actually given them a C plus. I gave them a C at the first quarter grades. Give them a C plus now because again, haven't turned the ball over really. So
yeah,
again, haven't anything spectacular. Haven't changed the game by any means, but. C.
It's bad.
Or C plus. C plus. That's all I can say. Now, the biggest facet of this, coaching.
Coaching. I gave a C first quarter. But Terry Bisky has kind of molded his offense more around Marcus.
Agreed.
LeBeau's been doing his thing.
Right. LeBeau's
the offense only thing that's changed. Special teams, I guess we changed coordinators, but once again, nothing's really changed.
Nope.
So I go from a C to a B because Terry Bisky has adjusted and Marcus has looked pretty solid the last month and a half.
I'll agree with you on that completely. I'm right there with you as well, giving them a B. I gave them a C-plus in the first quarter rankings. Now giving them a B, and again, I say that because of the fact that, you know, we're beating teams we're supposed to beat. We went 3-1 in the last four games, and now we're looking better.
Yeah.
And that's the most solid point I can really say about that. Russ Grimm, phenomenal job with LaJuan and Conklin. Phenomenal. I mean, and Ben Jones. I mean, shoot, Josh Klein is a good player anyways. Brian Schwenke, me. Not going to wow me. Not going to do anything crazy. But
having two young tackles right now, playing the way they're playing.
Playing the way they're playing. That's bookends for the next 15 years, baby. Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's bookends. The only thing I do hate is that we're going to have to pay those dudes.
For sure.
We're going to have to pay them. And Taylor's up here in the next year or two.
Yeah.
So, we're going to have to pay those dudes.
All right. Now, the only thing left we have to do is our picks, our AFC South picks for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Last week was not a great week.
I don't know, John.
I missed one. You got one right, so you took the lead on me.
I did take the lead.
I got the Texans game wrong.
Yeah, so we both, again, the folks at home don't know this, but we both picked the Titans. We both picked the Titans. We both picked the Chiefs to beat the Colts. And to switch things up a little bit, you picked the Lions, and I picked the Texans.
I'm going to pick against Brock Osweiler for most of this year, I think.
Again, I told you he stunk. I told you he was awful.
Yeah.
People didn't want to listen to me, but now what are they saying?
Yeah.
Brock Osweiler's terrible.
All right, you lead it off.
All right, let's go this week.
Titans at San Diego.
The Chargers are a 5.5-point favorite People have been betting them like crazy. What'd you say the line started at 3.5?
Yesterday, and it's moved 2 points already.
That's huge. That is huge. That's absolutely huge. I mean, I'm going to pick a loss for the Titans, unfortunately. Said it earlier this year. I'm going to pick a loss for them. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be like a huge shootout, in my opinion. I think it's going to be something like, 26 to 20, 26-18, like something like that, right? We're going to be within 6 to 8 points. I mean, I don't know if we necessarily cover that 5.5, but I think it'll be a close game in that regard. So you picking a loss for that as well?
I think we will lose, but I think we will cover because all of San Diego's games, for the most part, come down to the last drive or two.
Okay.
So I'm saying San Diego 27-24.
Ooh, okay. All right. Taking that with the cover. All right. And what's really funny is when I was making this up here, the next game we got on the schedule is the Jags at KC. I already put 2 L's for the Jags in there for both of us.
Yeah, safe bet.
Safe bet. We're going to go with the Jags with a loss against the Chiefs, regardless of who they have at running back, regardless of who they have at quarterback, for Jesus Christ. Nick Foles still looked pretty good last week.
Yeah.
Even in a relief effort. And I had Alex Smith on fantasy, too. And, of course, at least he came back in and threw a touchdown. That's all I'm going to say. At least he did that. So we both picked that one. But that number right now is KC9.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel comfortable with 9.
I can't say I do.
Feel running backs
in any NFL game. I don't feel comfortable with 9 in any NFL game. Yeah. I don't care if the Patriots are playing the Browns. Actually, I'll take that back. Maybe that one game, the Patriots played the Browns. That might be the one game where I'm like, I'll take that 9 points.
What about, the Indy game?
Last game of the week, Indy at Green Bay. The Tundra, the frozen Tundra at Lambeau Field. The Packers are a 7-point home favorite. I personally, I'm going to pick a loss for Indy. I think Green Bay is going to come back, swing it back around. Aaron Rodgers is too good, and that defense is just not.
Yeah.
He's just too good, and that defense is, again, just not. That's really all I can say.
I'm taking the Packers, too, for that same reason. Aaron Rodgers is going to light them up, but I don't think they cover 7.
You don't think so?
I don't.
I think they do. I think they cover 7.
I think a late backdoor cover by the Colts in garbage time.
See, that's an interesting point there. Very interesting point you make. I think that they take
7 is a lot, too.
I think they cover that 7, though. I think Green Bay is just going to be too good. I think Aaron Rodgers is pissed. He had the best game of the season so far, and they still lost. That guy's motivated this week, and he is going to whoop up on that Colts D.
All right, and then I got to do one more. Because the lock of the week is still alive.
Wait for it.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. It's still alive.
Where's the music for the lock of the week, Mike?
I won last week.
Throw it in there. John got one. But let's talk about this. I have to tell the folks at home. Yeah. There's a big deal. I got to talk with the folks at home. Got to tell them. So we're in the car, right? We're coming back from Notre Dame. It's about 8.5-hour drive from South Bend to Nashville. And the Bucks go up 10-0. And me and John's younger brother, Josh, are just dying laughing in the car that he's going to lose again. He's going to lose again. Raiders make a comeback, make it 17-10. I'm like, all right, John, you might actually win this one.
Yeah.
Bucks come back, tie it up. Raiders score, Bucks tie it up. And then the Raiders have the ball with, 40 seconds left? And they're at, the 40-something yard line. And then I'm looking at John, and he's like, oh, yeah, okay, it's going to be great. And I go, but John, the line's 3.5. If they kick a field goal, you're still going to lose, bro. And just complete look of disappointment just came over his face. It was the funniest thing I've probably ever seen. And he's just like, are you kidding me? I'm going to lose again.
Really didn't want to go 0-3.
But then he got lucky that Mr. Seth Roberts broke a tackle and took it to the end zone. Got a text from John as soon as that game ended. And it was like, hey, I finally won one. So the lock of the week is still alive.
1-3. All right, we're going to parlay.
One for three.
I missed two.
Oh, 1-4-3. I was saying over record 1-2. Yeah. 1-3. You're right.
You won for three. So we're going to parlay this in back-to-back wins.
All right, John. What you got? So
there weren't many standout games this week.
Agreed.
But the Eagles are getting 2.5 points at the Giants. And I don't trust the Giants enough.
They're getting 2.5?
They're getting 2.5.
At New York?
Yes.
Huh. Interesting.
So I'm taking the Eagles +2.5 at MetLife.
I like it.
Lock of the week.
I think it's a safe pick.
Lock it up.
Lock it up. Bring the keys with you. John's going to make another win.
500 after this week.
Y'all go bet it out right now. Go bet it.
Bet the farm.
Go bet it. Well, folks, it's that time of the show. We got to wrap things up. Say goodbye to you for another week of the TNT Couch Scouts. Thank everybody for listening, as always.
Keep the downloads coming. Keep the tweets coming.
Keep them coming, guys. At TNT underscore Couch Scouts on the Snapchat, at TNT underscore Couch Scouts. We did change it. So the fact that they did match, probably a smarter move on our part.
For sure, for sure.
However,
marketing.
I will say this. I got to throw it out to our guys in New York. They need a hug.
They do.
They need a hug. They really do.
When we started this, we thought we were going to be a dumpster fire. And
yep.
We thought the Jets were going to be pretty good. And it's basically 180 switched.
Absolutely, man. Got to give our boys
up
there.
Heart goes out.
We got to give the boys a hug up there. So we're giving you, through the internet, the internet hug for you. Boys, y'all are hurting. But everyone, like we said, thank you for listening. As always, we back out again next week. Make sure you're watching. The game is at 325 out on the West Coast. But as always, y'all.